Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Bet365. Marvellous to have you with us. My name's Marcus Speller. Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore is present.
All right.
And Pete Donaldson's bringing up the rear. Wonderful time of the year. It's the first proper international football break of the season.
They do it every year and we welcome it all in with open international hands.
About time. I was getting really fed up with the Premier League.
Yeah. It's becoming a slog at this point, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Such a rubbish start to domestic football. The internationals will show us all how it's done, of course.
Yeah.
Well, it's one of those things where, like, if we slag off lower league football, we're going to upset people. If we slag off international football, who are we slagging off exactly?
Well, Pete,
racists.
No one's
Pete, hang on a minute.
We'll always slag them off.
Pete's case, you slag off everyone all the time.
Yeah.
There's no discrimination here. Yeah.
I'm not slagging off international football at all.
Yeah. I'm not. Yeah, no, that's what I mean. That's the only person we're going to upset. Sven Göran Markusson.
Just off the top of my head, he slags off Newcastle every week.
Yeah, yeah.
He
called, no, that's fair.
Yeah, fine. I'm not judging it.
Yeah.
He called Sunderland a bunch of pit yackers.
That was a while ago.
That's literally their name.
He said Middlesbrough was a dump.
Hang on.
Hartlepool's a bigger dump.
You said
that's not Sunderland. Name. That's certain people's name for some.
Yeah, it's not even Sunderland, to be honest.
Move on before you matter. Go on, Luke.
Yeah, before we upset everyone.
Finish your list.
He slags the Ramble fairly regularly.
Yeah. So basically, I just slag off the North East and the Ramble. I think you all right, isn't it? I'm from the North East and I'm in the Ramble, so yeah. I think that's fine.
You were
very rude. You're very rude to Mad Frankie Fraser that time.
Yeah.
All those years ago.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, the
anyway,
gangster.
You hate white men.
Yeah.
He's
doing a great effort and putting across. That he's not actually angry, by the way. So, yeah.
What do you mean?
Getting irate about that. The irony of getting irate at being accused of being angry.
Luke, we don't use a record at this hour.
That's true.
It's very early.
Have you had enough coffee?
Have you been to bed?
Good, yeah.
There was an incredible fight happening outside my house in the middle of the night.
Oh, yeah? Who were you up against?
That would not have been incredible.
Was it you versus McGregor? Jim again?
Yeah. So for the record, are you technically at the moment still out?
This is me painting the town red. Yeah. This is me painting the town podcast.
I know, eh? Blimey O'Reilly. Well, Jim, I know you're itching to talk about England. They're away to Malta.
Yes. We're going to destroy them, aren't we, Marcus?
Let's be honest. And then a home to Slovakia, of course. England could qualify for Russia with two wins here. And I think if Slovakia lose to Slovenia on the Friday night. So we could have the flags out by Tuesday morning.
The ones attached to the car windows. Lovely.
Get them back.
Good to have them back.
England are currently, I'd love to throw this in an international break.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it again.
Damn right.
England, strap yourselves in, pin your ears back. This is something you want to be listening to. England are currently 20-1 to win the World Cup next summer.
Well, that's worth it.
With Bet365. £10 returns, £210 including stake. The big story.
Do you hear that noise, Liv?
Yeah, that's money.
That's money in my pocket.
I'd have a £2 coin on that.
Let me just translate that. That is a license to print money. can I just say one of the big stories around this England squad, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about the Slovakia game afterwards, but is that when Harry Maguire was called up for the first time, he turned up to report for training with his stuff in a bin bag, right? And everyone thought, this is brilliant, this is fantastic, really funny, blah, blah.
But all of his stuff?
Well, the sort of fashion a la mode for England players and for top players is to turn up with a little sort of Louis Vuitton clutch bag.
And someone else is doing it.
Yeah, so Maguire turned up with a bin bag. Now, the cynic in me said, well, his Leicester players, teammates have said to him, well, it's your first England call up. Mm. Turn up in a bin bag because that'll be funny. Right? Yeah, it's a massively staged thing. Which
Steve Claridge would do it.
He would, but he would have done it sincerely. Way back in the day.
Okay. He wears it like a jacket.
Yeah. As a player, Steve Claridge is a hero of mine. But even I would say, in his pomp, he was nowhere near an England call-up. So that's not relevant. But what I wanted to say was, if that was put up by his Leicester teammates, and it was a thing that they did as a joke, is there something a bit distasteful about a very, very wealthy man sort of mocking that sort of process by turning up with stuff in a bin bag? To me, it seems a little bit unsavoury. So I'd like to go against the grain, so I didn't personally find it funny.
If it was the contents of Jamie Vardy's bin bag, then that would be quite distasteful.
Red Bull and Skittles.
Don't look in it. Don't smell it.
When David Beckham first signed for Real Madrid, they went on a pre-season tour, I think in the Far East, and he turned up at the airport ready to go, but I don't think he'd met most of his teammates, to be honest with you. He was very fresh, and he noticed that they'd just turned up with those little bags, as you say, Luke.
Mm. Yeah.
And he had, you know, sort of three kind of quite big bagfuls of stuff, because they were going away for a number of weeks, obviously quite far, and Beckham needs to look good.
That's quite cute, though, him doing that.
Yeah, but he thought, oh, crap, maybe the club puts on everything for you, and he didn't want to look like an idiot, so he said to, I presume, his wife, I'll just take the little bag. I'm sure they've sorted me out with everything. And he turned up, and then, of course, everyone's saying, well, where's the rest of your stuff? And they'd already sorted
Carry on already.
Yeah. All their stuff had been taken away.
Is that where the sarong came in?
Yeah, maybe.
He basically had to borrow someone's clothes.
he turned up wearing that.
Okay, and, right.
And so then he said his introduction to a lot of his teammates was walking down the aisle of the plane, asking people, oh, sorry, you don't have a spare such and such I could borrow.
That's brilliant.
Kind of stuff.
Very nice.
That was his introduction.
I mean, if David Beckham gives you a bin bag of stuff, take it. It's probably got nice aftershave. In it, lots of nice stuff. If Jamie Vardy tells you to get rid of a bin bag, do it
chuck that in a river or something.
In an extremely deep river.
Yeah. The thing is, if David Beckham starts doing it, everyone will do it. That's the thing.
That's right.
The trend is set then.
Exactly.
Yeah. Harry Maguire has
it. Do you remember when David
Beckham
was
Ollie Holt?
But do you remember when Beckham was like regarded as being actually very stupid? He's had such a long career. I think it has massively. Now he's got a dad, and now he's like all responsible and that. I think people respect him.
He's a dad because we don't hear him speak as often.
Hang on, he was a dad at about 23, 24, was he not?
Well, repeated dad.
He's definitely, you only really see him in the public eye, of course, but he's definitely matured as a person, Beckham, I think.
Yeah.
I think so.
Is
the darkness moulded him?
Look, we're not allowed to talk about Rooney coming back to the squad. We're talking about David Beckham, for crying out loud.
I think he could do it. I would give him a run out against Malta.
Yeah.
Crouch up top, get him whipping balls in.
I'd bring him on for penalty corners. But Jermaine Defoe did say that it was strange not to have Rooney around the camp, and I love that. Yeah, he's not here, but I am.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot more food around, isn't there?
I'm not sure if you know, but I'm actually older than Wayne Rooney. So that's a measure of how well I look after myself.
Mm, yeah, the vegan diet, ladies and gentlemen.
Scored fairly recently for England Defoe, of course.
He did, what a story that was. Because Gareth Southgate has made the point, hasn't he, that he wants his players, within as much reason as possible to be playing regularly for their clubs. And the squad definitely reflects that. And I think that's something that England fans have been calling for a long time.
It is,
nice to see. Nice to see that perhaps being implemented.
He doesn't. You are right, Jim. But to play devil's advocate, it doesn't reflect it completely because Gary Cahill's only had about 15 minutes.
Yeah, he's
fresh. He's fresh.
Yeah, he is.
Marcus, I think just to build on Jim's point, I mean, we have a situation in England where. In the past, players have just been picked because they... I mean, you see it. As soon as they sign for a bigger club, they'll get picked in the England squad straight away. Not as good as the legendary... Was it Neil McCann? Neil McCann played for Hearts.
He did.
And was brilliant for so many seasons.
Yeah, very pacey. Way.
Yeah, signed for Rangers straight in there. First cap. He didn't even play for Rangers at that point.
I think, forgive me if it's wrong, he signed at the end of the season as most do, and so he could get set up during the summer and start playing for Rangers. And it was that international round of fixtures towards the end of the summer. I don't think the season has even started yet. And Craig Brown was like, he's much better player now. Didn't kick the competitive ball. I'm pretty sure that's correct. Yeah.
I understand what you're saying in the Scottish Premier League and all that. I've just seen him in training for the first time.
Yeah.
He's going to blow your mind to bits.
Rangers 3. Rangers with Bibs 0. I mean, what a game that was, you know.
Very high standard.
He took those Bibs apart.
Yeah.
So there we are. Oxlade-Chamberlain is in the England squad, and he'll soon be in the Liverpool team.
So he will. We're going to get a lovely carriage clock.
Yeah.
Who's Wenger going to spend the £40 million on?
Well, have you heard the news this morning? Apparently there isn't any money to spend. I think we've made, if the Chamberlain deal goes through, it'll be £27 million in profit.
So that's Jim,
claiming there's no money.
That means they are lying,
yeah,
or they've let Oxlade-Chamberlain go for no money up front.
Yeah, I mean, it could well be that, couldn't it? I mean, yeah. You know, we all know there's a lot of money sloshing around and, you know, it's impossible to know what money comes in where from, you know, as we've said so many times, like the newspapers say such and such costs 40 million or whatever. We don't know, but it's, I mean, I find that unfathomable that there isn't money available.
Most football is built on debt anyway. If you've got a guarantee that you've got, you know, 5 million coming in the next 3 years, you can borrow against that with certain amounts of money. So, like, on top of that. But it just seems very strange that they're announcing that.
But the funny thing
unless
about
Mike Ashley's taken over, sorry.
Yeah. Well, all bets are off then. everyone gets a big mug, yeah. But we're recording this on the morning of deadline day, right? So there will be things will develop for the day and the evening, of course. But last night's sort of revelation was that someone had posted a photo of Oxlade-Chamberlain in a Liverpool training kit when he hasn't officially signed for them. Now, presumably that's because he'd just done the medical or something.
Yeah. But I mean, promo videos.
Yeah. But surely they should be a little bit more careful than that, because the way. The way that Arsenal are at the moment, and it's probably being made out to be a lot worse than it actually is, and I completely understand that. Mm. But from a PR point of view, that looks bad for a club of Arsenal's size. I mean,
to be honest, if you send the player to the club, you can't really sort of have an Arsenal representative going, no, put Emirates over that badge, please. Yeah,
he might as well be wearing a Liverpool kit on that performance on the weekend.
Hey,
nice. Lol.
Yeah. It was Paul Ince, wasn't it? It was Paul Ince, I think, the first time this happened, where he was pictured in a Man United shirt before he signed from West Ham.
He posed
and
with
they went, yeah, and they went nuts about it. And I think that the stigma is still from that.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
They got over it. But I guess back in those days, clearly, there weren't camera phones and all the rest of it. The Paul Ince thing looked like a bit of a slap in the face because he posed for photos and and they were able to be released when he hadn't officially signed for them. But you know, Oxlade-Chamberlain and Raheem Sterling, another player who's in the England squad, of course, he's been linked with a move back to Arsenal. I mean,
move
to Arsenal from Man City. For me, I mean, again, this is going to sound like I'm being harsh towards Arsenal again, I guess, because of what I'm about to say. But Raheem Sterling would have rocks in his head to go to Arsenal at this point.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think there's actually any truth in the story. I think part of the problem Arsenal might have had is, like, you know, players looking at the chaos around the club and thinking, do I want to get involved in that? I wouldn't be surprised to see a Lacazette transfer request today, the way things are going.
Yeah.
I mean, the point you made, 51 million. Yeah, the point you made just a minute ago is that it's probably not as bad as it looks, and that does tend to be the case, doesn't it? A lot of the time with the club in crisis, like, one win sets you back on track so easily. But it just betrays a real lack of cohesion at the club. Like, nothing seems to make any sense. There seems to be no joined up thinking at all about the summer's transfer business.
Well, Jim, the thing I find like worrying for them from their point of view is that these players, I mean, we talked earlier this week about Oxlade-Chamberlain, about how I think they'd be crazy to let him go, and you made the point fairly, you know, he wants to go and that's fine, and then reports, I don't know how much truth there is in them, but the reports that came out yesterday was that he turned down a massive pay rise to leave. So if that's the case, and I've got no reason to believe it isn't, he wants to leave. Mustafi wants to leave,
supposedly.
Gabriel wanted to leave.
Kieran Gibbs is gone.
The thing is, you can absolutely, and Gibbs is an international footballer. I mean, he's not had the best luck with injury, and potentially people will question his motivation and stuff. He's an international footballer who also wants to leave
but
the club.
He's third in the pecking order at his position, though. So I think that one's a bit of an isolated case. But also, you've got Lucas Perez there, who's had a really tough time. I know he's not a key player, but again, it furthers the point. There are a lot of unhappy players there. That cannot be good for the cohesion you need in a squad mentally.
And it can't be a coincidence either.
No, absolutely not.
You want a bit of that, Draxler?
Exactly.
You know what it does look like? It looks, you know, when a club have had loads of managers over a short period, and there are signings from different regimes dotted about. Mm. It still looks like that, despite Wenger having been there for so long.
Although that can work for clubs like Chelsea, who win titles in between.
Yeah,
you know, it's frustrating.
Depends on the level of the players. Obviously.
Of course, it does. Yeah, but yeah, Gibbs has gone to be with Tony Pulis.
Which, and the joke's on him there, because Tony Pulis only plays centre backs at full back, so Gibbs is going to find on the bench again.
Gibbs will be like up front or something.
Yeah.
He's not a particularly robust player with his injury record, so Pulis. But will Pulis literally squeeze something better out?
I can imagine him actually physically squeezing him.
This is how you'll toughen up, son.
But Gibbs is a player who's played at fullback for England on more than one occasion, so I mean, he's got talent. He clearly feels that he wants to, you know, wants to play more regularly to give himself a chance to get back in there.
I mean, because his age, he needs to.
It's a World Cup year, of course, which is part of the reason why we're doing this.
Well,
show,
I think what Jim said at the start, you know, saying what Gareth Southgate said to the England players about, you know, you've really got to play to be in this squad. He's laid down the law. before. Now, that might be quite difficult for Southgate when it comes to the World Cup or in the build-up to it. If a player like Raheem Sterling isn't playing much at Manchester City, does he drop...
Well, he'll just pick him anyway.
This is the point. I think he's saying this to kind of players like Kieran Kibbs. If you want to get back in the side, you know, start playing regularly. And the one who's been highlighted for this is Nathaniel Chalobah, of course, who's left Chelsea and gone to Watford. And Chalobah said in an interview, it was a big decision. He said all he knew, really, at the core of things was Chelsea. The problem was he'd been out on loan, I think, was it five or six times?
Six clubs, I think, yeah.
Six clubs in 5 years or something like that. Which is an enormous amount. He's still only 22, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
And he said that the Chelsea were the club he supported. He grew up there. He came through their youth academy. It was a big decision to leave. You are sort of leaving home. I know he's been around the country and he's been abroad. He went to Napoli very, very briefly. But it's a big one. But he's in the England squad now. He's playing for Watford. You know, his career looks like it's, if he's in a sense, back on track.
He's got 40 under 21 caps.
Yeah, I think he's been capped, I think, 97 times at
youth level.
At youth level for England throughout the ranks, But he's got his international cup. It'd be interesting if he plays. I mean, away to Malta, I know England only beat Malta, I think, 2-0 at home, but you'd surely think give him 10 minutes or something at least. You know,
him and Beckham coming on later on.
Spraying the passes to each other, you know, something like that.
What do you think about the goalkeeper situation then, Marcus?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was...
Because Butland didn't share himself in glory last time out, did he?
Yeah.
For Stoke, I mean, he didn't play brilliantly.
Well, I think that the chat among a lot of journalists is that Butland will take over from Joe Hart.
Do you think that's why he started sort of spilling... dropping the ball and giving away corners and stuff. It's just the spectre of England looming.
You say that, but the thing is, we obviously, the sister show we did on the concert about European football, we had James Horncastle on this week, and it's obviously available now for people who want to go and subscribe, and I would recommend they do so. But he was saying, like, the Italian fan perception of Joe Hart is like he's a terrible keeper. He was really bad.
He refused to save anything to his left-hand side in one match. I think he did it four times.
But do you think, Pete, the thing is, because he's a goalkeeper and an English player who's gone abroad, we just really want him to be good so bad that we'll give him a pass.
I think some people actually quite liked him in Italy.
I'm sure they liked him. I just don't think they thought he was very good.
I think he was slightly disappointing. Yeah.
Also, they're sort of presumably holding everyone up to the standard of Gigi Buffon, right? which we can't really do.
But the thing is, though, I think the England goalkeeper situation is quite healthy. Actually, okay, Hart's a bit shaky, but he can still do a job for England in net. Mm. I think his time as the number one England goalkeeper has finished now. Butland's a good goalkeeper. And Jordan Pickford, okay, he's pulled out with injury, but what a keeper he is.
However ridiculous England are at the back, it's rarely the keeper's fault. The keeper's rarely the biggest problem in the whole entire England setup. There are bigger problems.
But having said that, I agree with you broadly, but having said that, do you remember that Scott Carson thing
against Croatia?
Yeah.
I mean,
there was a Rob Green one at the World Cup as well.
I mean, David Seaman getting lobs. I mean,
they've all got him in them.
They are still a problem.
They've all got him in them, but I'm just saying that
not as much as the outfield.
I think
players.
Maybe the other problems maybe weigh on their minds a little bit. I don't know.
I think with Butland and with Pickford.
Well, Pickford's very young as well.
I think you've got those two will vie for number one and two. And what I love about Tom Heaton is he's a great number three because he knows he's not the number one. Yeah. And he probably thinks I'm not a number two really. So when he's given the number three or the
Pepe Reina,
he's kind of like I'm just quite happy to be here.
Yeah,
and he's a brilliant bloke, is Tommy. I've met him before, a lovely fella. So a really good number three, I think, there for England. So I think the keeper situation is quite.
I agree
healthy.
With Pete. It's certainly not the top of the priority list.
Indeed. So England could find themselves. Qualified in Russia as of next week.
Yeah, if they win both their games, they're in business. But I mean, it is fine margins though, because you obviously expect them to win it in Malta, and that will give them 17 points. If Slovakia win, then England plays Slovakia at home. If England lose that game to Slovakia, they're suddenly second in the group because Slovakia are only 2 points behind, and then you're facing down the fact that you don't have enough games to catch up. Mm-hmm. Necessarily, then you're in the playoff, and then who knows? I mean, England. I would hate to see England in a playoff.
Oh, imagine it.
Even though it'd be seeded, and we'd get someone bad, we'd probably still
go out on penalty.
Yeah, we'd make a good account of ourselves.
Have you seen us seeding lately?
Exactly. Well, true. Exactly.
England would finish third, and Scotland would finish above them in the playoffs. That was but the goalkeeper situation, as I say, is probably looking good for the future. Although one of the problems with England was lack of quality coaching. And lack of quality coaches that England produces.
Disagree.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay. After Southgate, who's up next?
I'll get back to you on that.
Paul Clement, probably.
Yeah. Well, maybe, yeah. Chance. The list is as short as your pinky. Yeah. But this was very evident of the lack of quality coaching, or coaches England produces, at the recent UEFA Elite Coaches Forum that happened on the continent. Of course, the meeting is set up to give Europe's most influential coaches a chance to express their concerns and exchange views on the major issues facing European competition. A bit like on the continent, really, podcast. Yeah. Sir Alex Ferguson was acting as chair.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah, of course he was.
In my mind, that's a big throne. It's the Iron Throne. He's just sat up there.
Who's taking minutes?
Yeah, just taking...
Southgate.
He's taking red wine. He's sat up there. Yeah, having a lovely old time.
Can you imagine how good the wine is at that place?
Oh, yeah.
All those managers, celebrating managers from all around Europe.
In this situation, Sir Alex Ferguson is Dumbledore, basically. Yeah. He's just the head of it. He's sat there.
He's drinking wine out of like the Premier League trophy or something, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's had one made.
Yeah.
Carlos Queiroz is fetching it for him. Louis van Gaal was present.
Nice. Yeah.
So he would be particularly sickened that he wasn't
chief
the chair.
Whip.
Mate, yeah. Louis van Gaal would be
chief whip, yeah.
He'd be telling everyone why they're in fact wrong. You imagine doing a PowerPoint presentation about coaching in front of Louis van Gaal. It'd be about 4 hours. Yes, Lewis, what's the next question?
Questions are for the end.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Oh, dear. So, yeah, van Gaal was there.
Was it van Gaal or was it ghost van Gaal? Yeah. I need to make that very clear.
It was a hologram of van Gaal.
I'll tell you who else was there. Pierluigi Collina.
Yeah. Collina was there.
Well,
he's taking minutes, surely.
He officiating the whole thing.
He was keeping van Gaal and the man who criticised his methods at Old Trafford so much, Jose Mourinho, was there. Oh. He's keeping them apart.
It's like doing a wedding planning thing. Yeah. Put them at the end. Opposite ends. I cannot have Jose next to Lewis.
Yeah.
You know what went on between them in Ayia Napa last summer?
Well, Zinedine Zidane was there, of course. Yeah. Leonardo Jardim, the Monaco manager, Massimo Allegri, and little Rafa Benitez.
Yeah. What do you
mean? Newcastle representative.
Champions League winner. Have some respect.
Oi, little Rafa Benitez.
Benitez.
That tells you everything you need to know about
controller Benitez.
That tells you everything you need to know about what Marcus thinks about the city of Newcastle as a whole.
And your character.
I suppose he was probably some kind of waiting on everybody.
Well, there's another one. Yeah. As you say, Jose Mourinho. Where does he fit into the...
The waiters were Queiroz, Brian Kidd, Ronnie Mullenstein, and Rafa Benitez.
Steve McLaren.
Rafa Benitez puts a glass of wine in front of Jose Mourinho. That's red wine. Fact. Frank Ferguson, that's white wine. Fact.
Oh, dear.
Arsene
Wenger's absence was unexplained.
Yeah, he's probably got no problems.
Jim, he's working on all those signings, mate.
He's got nothing to raise, no issues to raise.
He probably thought, he looked around the room and thought, I can't learn anything here. I can learn nothing here.
The last time they had a big managerial meeting, Rafa kept on hitting up Arsene for some players. He's gone, can I have a player? He's gone, have you got some money? No.
Chucky just passed him a napkin with name of a player and just underneath. Loan?
Yeah,
but it sounds like you're like ripping it up, putting it in.
Sounds like a lovely old time. Mm.
Oh yeah, everyone speaking different languages, drinking red wine. Yeah. Fantastic.
Sounds great. Beautiful. We need to try and get in on this next time somehow.
Yeah, well, we'll start with
our as the waiting staff.
Yeah,
I was thinking we'll start our coaching badges and go the long route, shall we?
Like Ocean's 11.
Indeed. Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit more international football after this.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Guys, we have a problem. The boss said that new devil is arriving.
Strange not having him around the camp, but there we are. And now it's time for correspondence with Peatles.
It is time for correspondence with Peatles. That's me. Hello to Matt Alsop.
Pete, before you get into this, can I just send the running order, just to give people a little behind the curtain?
Why are you saying this?
Marcus has put, correspondence with Pete, make it a good one.
Outrageous.
Come on, these are the secrets of the show.
We are literally at the you know, dangling by whatever the emails send us. show@thefootballramble.com.
All I'm asking for is the best of the Beatles.
Yeah. Matt Alsop says, "Dear Ramblers, I've had an idea!" 2 exclamation marks.
Bring it on.
At the end of each show, you play Going for Glold and the winner receives a point. However, I think it would be more interesting if, instead of a point, the winner receives the player who they guessed. The aim of the game could be to create the best six-a-side team by the end of the season, so whoever won the most games has the most players to choose from. On the season finale, you could present your chosen six-a-side team and Pete can decide the victor.
Oh, that's an excellent idea, because I've already got a goalkeeper.
sorry to Jim, who's got Jimmy Traore.
Who's the email there?
Matt.
Matt, have you momentarily forgot who's in charge of the admin for this game? Because I tell you something now, it is hard enough as it is with Monsieur Donaldson at the helm.
Mate.
We did not want to complicate
anything. Who got you a studio at 9 a.m?
Yeah,
me.
You did, actually.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
Make it a good one.
Josh says, "Hi, fellas. Thank you for the rambling and keep it up. Just like to share a belated highlight of last weekend from the halftime analysis of Manchester United versus Leicester. Listening to Tim Sherwood, in full seriousness, he suggested that the best way to break Leicester down was to take off Daley Blind and bring on Marcus Rashford at left back."
Yeah, I saw that. There was a screenshot of it. Basically, Tim Sherwood, for some reason, I don't know the context of this, Tim Sherwood was in front of a touchscreen with the Man United first 11, and he had Marcus Rashford at left back. Like, it was completely ridiculous.
I mean, you've taken my advice too, literally. It's always nice to have a Marcus in there, but don't crowbar him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, so Tim is our loss is really whatever media outlet he's on now's gain.
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. Dan Blakemore, a Man United fan, says, "Greetings, gents. I wanted to share a lovely little anecdote about fatherhood with you. As entirely fabricated statistics show, upwards of 70% of your listeners are fathers." We've been your life short, they ain't.
I hope not.
Yeah. "Have a girl of nearly 5, a son of 2, and twins on the way. Busy household." "As a teacher with some free time in August, my wife and I thought it would be a good time to potty train the boy before the arrival of the twins and the impending inevitable chaos. Despite numerous reward charts, stickers, sweets, and toys as thinly veiled bribery, for nearly a week we had no success. The grand finale of this failure saw him curl one out onto his bedroom carpet and then walk across the landing in little brown footprints which resembled a dirty Easter Bunny protest. My wife and I were very close to giving up and persevering with nappies until October. However, when contemplating my life over a brew, I had an epiphany, flicking through Sky Sports and stumbling across the Premiership years, 2005-2006, specifically a Chelsea game. It was at that moment I made the seismic shift to my strategy and decided to go full Makaleli on the boy. I literally man-marked him for 2 days solidly. Where he went, I went. Where he ran, I ran. I was touch tight, potty in hand for 4 or 8 hours. The danger was completely sniffed out. It was a masterclass, and by the end of the period, we had pretty much mastered the art of toilet."
There's Martin Keown-esque, that is.
I know. Who would have thought that the Makaleli role would have such applications? Lovely stuff. Dan says, Man United fan, he says at the end, "When I came in, my daughter said to me, 'Who is Mark Bosnich, and why do you keep shouting his name in the garden?'"
That's what it'd do to you. Very nice. I like that. That sounds to me more like Martin Keown than Makaleli personally. But Martin Keown was a legendary man, Mark, of a defender.
He was very good,
wasn't
he?
Not so good as a pundit, but you ain't got time for that now.
No. Are we done, Peter?
We're done. There was a lad in Charles, a lad called Charles, who's actually in Houston, Texas, and he's in the middle of Hurricane Harvey, and he's kind of obviously worrying whether he's going to lose his home, and he's checking the water from overflowing bayou every hour or so. He's basically waiting to get his headphones on, pour himself some Ardberg, and start the football ramble, and forgetting life for a little while. So the football ramble's helping people get through some pretty tough times, I think, and I hope stays safe in Houston.
We wish him all the best.
Certainly we do, blimey. Let's go back to international football then. There is a thigh rubber on the weekend, and it's Spain versus Italy. Mm. It's always an interesting one between these two, apart from that final in Euro 2012 where Spain hammered them. I love this.
They're also locked at the top of their group, aren't they?
They're both on 16 points. Yeah. Spain are top on goal difference after 6 matches. So one of those sides will go into the playoffs. So for crying out loud, England.
I don't think England will be able to draw them because we'll be inexplicably seeded.
Do you think?
Yeah. I think so, yeah. All right, okay. But I mean, it's enough to keep one awake at night, so I do agree with you.
If it's possible, we'll be a magnet for them.
It depends who's in the pot for the playoffs. Because if England are in there and like France aren't and a few others aren't, go, yeah, no, we won't do the seeds this time.
No, but to be fair, though, England have had an absolute... I mean, in terms of the qualification group this time around, England have had an absolute Man United of a group, haven't they? Like a doozy. So Spain and Italy being drawn together is a particularly tough one.
It is, yeah. Sergio Ramos, he shouldn't have to ask this, but he's asked the Bernabeu faithful, because it's being played in Madrid, not to boo Gerard Piqué.
But you say he doesn't have to ask this, but Piqué doesn't help himself.
No, I know.
Piqué's a bit of a shit.
But when I say he shouldn't have to ask this, that's on all fronts.
Yeah, that's true.
I love the fact that Ramos and Piqué, they're such club men. You know, Piqué is now synonymous with Barcelona, obviously Ramos with Real Madrid. Both centre-backs, tough tackling centre-backs, particularly Ramos, of course. They are loved by their fans. They're the type of players I would imagine that fans would love having them on their team, but opposition fans would hate them.
Yeah,
so
of course.
But they come together with Spain and they've won so much together. They've played so well, but yet there is still that animosity.
But Piqué is so chippy. I mean, it was after Real Madrid won the first team to ever win back-to-back Champions League. Won three in four seasons. And then Piqué says, "Oh, for the first time, I think Real Madrid, you know, they might be better than Barcelona." It's like, well, sticking the boot in is really petty.
but that actually,
that's the sort of thing that means you're going to get booed at the Bernabeu.
But yeah, true. But that's kind of like, that was actually a sort of shred of humility almost for Piqué, because that's how.
But because of the way he is, it doesn't come across like that.
Sure. Yeah, I know what you mean.
But in terms of a more agreeable type of chaps, David Villa's been called up again.
Oh, David Villa. It's class.
You called it.
No, that was because I heard it happened.
Yeah. All right, I thought you described it.
No.
You remembered it.
Jim is shooting the messenger there.
Yeah. And who knows?
With compliments.
Will Bradley Wright Phillips get a call off as well? Not for Spain, though. But yeah, he scored 60 goals in 87 MLS matches. So he's been scoring. He's not one of those.
I mean, it's easier, isn't it?
It is easier.
And what we've learned from that is, thinking about it, it is quite a bit easier.
To give him another mention.
Especially when you're one of the best players in the world.
Yeah. To give him another mention, Beckham managed all right international level for a bit until that injury. But what I was saying about Villa is, in case anybody didn't know how he was getting on out in the States, he is actually playing well. Yes, it's easier, Luke. Of course it is. But he's not having a kind of...
He's not doing a Pirlo.
He's not doing a Pirlo.
He's putting the effort in, isn't he?
Well, he's earning his money.
The great thing about it is, of course, is that... Basically, I understand that he's not played an awful lot of football, and this may be part of the reason, but it doesn't quite fit in with my narrative, so I'm going to ignore it. Diego Costa is so much of a shit. He's not. They're picking David Villa ahead of him.
Yeah.
It's reminiscent of when Sami Nasri didn't get picked for France for being too much of an idiot. For France, for that French
squad.
He's too
chippy.
Yeah. How do you stand out as an idiot in that French squad?
Man, he had the wrong star sign. You know.
Yeah, he probably did.
Remember Domenech?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Was it Pires he had a problem with? Particularly, I think it was Pires.
Was it Pires?
I think it might have been.
He also didn't.
Mexis. Was it Philip Mexis as well?
Possibly.
That was another one. He proposed to his girlfriend, didn't he, after France went out of a tournament like in the post-match interview.
He's an absolute character.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain she said no as well.
Not now.
You
called it.
Yeah, his book was called Lonely at the Top.
Yeah, it was.
When's it going to be translated?
But Spain obviously do play Italy on Saturday night, and they're 17-20 to beat Italy. So £10 returns at £18.50, including stake with Bet365.
It's worth saying that David Villa is 35 as well. You know, I think that's a wonderful recall. He hasn't played since World Cup 2014, because that was when he retired from international football, came out. Marcos Alonso didn't make the Spain squad as well.
Yeah, the manager had a right pop at him as well.
He did, didn't he? The manager said, we saw Marcos Alonso live and he was fine.
That is some very poor man management.
If it was me, I'd rather he said, not my type of player. I'd rather he said that than he's fine.
Yeah,
it's damning with faint praise.
Really it's like commenting on what a lady's wearing. How do I look? Fine.
Yeah.
No, don't, for crying out loud. But I did like, just briefly going back to David Villa. I loved what Sergio Ramos said. He said about the recall. He said it surprises all, but he's still young at heart.
That makes him sound like he's like 60.
He'll be
he's doing a jigsaw like an old people's home or something.
I'm sure he's got a couple of sprints left.
Did Ramos just have a massive grin on his face during this press conference where he's asking no one to boo Piqué and saying that?
I don't know. I will miss Ramos when he retires as a player.
Get confirmation that big Pepe Reina's in the squad?
Of course he is. There's always room for a cheerleader.
Big time.
Do you think if Ramos goes into management,
I can see him getting sent off in the dugout as well. Because he's a very sort of hot-tempered character, isn't he, as we know. Yeah. I'd love to see him sort of start adding to his collection of red cards as a manager as well.
The real crime there, though, is currently, and I'd like to see this change, currently the managers don't get a red card, they just get sent to the stands.
I agree with you,
actually. Which is stupid, because you don't really know what the situation is. They should blatantly get red cards.
Yeah, well, Ramos would have a bigger red card than the player's red card.
Yeah, a manager's
should be
one.
Folded up.
Like a greeting card. One of those tacky Clinton cards greeting cards. Is massive.
Yeah.
With a little Care Bear on the front, red card.
With a little recorded voice message in it, so as you open it, you're off.
The technical area itself should just turn red.
You're out. You're out of here.
That is the future, Jim, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
The near future of modern football. Maybe they should just have a seat in the stands, wherever he's managing. Say, if he goes on to manage Real Madrid, always have a spare seat up there.
Yeah.
Because you know he's probably going to occupy it at some point.
Just have, you know, if there's a robbery in a bank, the things go down, like the shutters go down. Just shutter them into the
dugout.
Into the dugout, so they can't get out.
No subs as well.
You're all in. You're not allowed to do any substitutions.
For 24 hours.
My favourite thing about Sergio Ramos's red card count is that six of them have come against Barcelona.
Yeah.
Six.
Most players don't get sent off that many times in their career.
Or play against Barcelona that many times.
I mean, that is astounding.
It's amazing, isn't it?
My goodness.
I can't wait to get him in the dugout at Atletico Madrid. That's the kind of dugout it is.
Yeah, damn right. We've obviously talked about David Villa there, who did retire from international football. He's come back. Rooney's retired from international football, of course. Tim Vickery wrote a great piece about South American players in light of Rooney retiring from the international scene. Now, he wasn't, I must make this absolutely clear, he wasn't criticising Rooney or the likes of Alan Shearer and Paul Scholes, who retired earlier in their careers, but he was actually using that to highlight the great commitment from South American players who consistently make long-haul flights across the Atlantic. Mm. And even when they get to the continent, you know, if you're in Chile, in Santiago, and you're playing away in Brazil or Colombia, they're flipping long-haul flights as well. The commitment that those players go into, it's well worth looking at that article.
It's an interesting and important piece, because I think it's not enough is made of this. I mean, if you're a Premier League-based player and you are of South American or, say, East Asian descent... Mm. I mean, the commitment is incredible. Yeah. It's 14 hours to Buenos Aires from London. And that's, as you say, before you go anywhere else. Because if you have to meet up with the squad, you might have to do another flight beyond that to play an away game.
And South America's huge.
Yeah, it's 12 hours to Tokyo, give or take. I know they get a lot of benefit in terms of flying privately a lot of time and great travel and stuff. But, I mean, it must take it out of you. Mm. And, you know, someone like... I've seen in the past, someone like... I think when Carlos Tevez was playing in the Premier League, he would go with Argentina to... for a World Cup qualifier or whatever, he'd be on the bench.
Yeah.
Go there, fly all the way there, train for however many days, on the bench, fly home again.
But I don't know how your body adjusts. I mean, just on jet lag.
But it's mad.
Just on jet lag, I'd be...
Exactly. It must be very, very tough. But the club will then say to the player or to the manager of the international team, it's a friendly or whatever, we only want him to play 45 minutes, or we don't really want him to play much because he's maybe just come back from an injury. It's like, there's literally no... If he pulls out the squad, people are going to have a pop at
him. I mean, he may think to himself... You know what? I could go on a bender for a few days.
That's very cynical, Mark. The one thing that Steven Gerrard had a problem with in the MLS was the flying.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to fly privately. You have to fly commercially. And so they do a lot of flying all around the country. So you know, Villa's probably going to have that situation. Yeah. He's done a lot of flying already this year.
To give him yet another mention, Beckham did fly back from Los Angeles.
LA Galaxy fans hated him for it.
Well, international football, you can't.
Do you know, one of the good things about all this stuff is a player who has had to go down to Brazil is old Philippe Coutinho.
Yeah.
Looks $1 million, doesn't he? You seen that footage of him training?
He's been past fit, Jim, hasn't he?
Yes. Such bad timing for him, isn't it?
His agent, not even his agent, could get away with carry on saying he's got a bad back. No. It was actually caused by stress, and he's fine now. He's back in his home country. If he's got a back injury, I'd hate to see him when he's fit.
Maybe he'll have a stressful flight home.
Get him on a 10-hour flight.
Yeah.
That's all he needs.
Is he having some sort of revolutionary treatment on the plane home or something?
That air pressure really works wonders for a bad back.
The way he trots the back, doesn't it?
The way he trots off the plane. I'm feeling much better now. It's that samba spirit.
I love the
Elemis hand cream on the BF flight.
I love it. The idea of him walking off the plane, like, feeling like $1 million, and his agent just hitting him. No, you got burnt.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Stoop, man, stoop.
Yeah.
Oh,
but,
dear.
You know, Brazil have got some squad at the moment, haven't they?
I was looking at this. I know this. You know, Brazil have got some good players. You know, whoopee. But
can I clip that?
Yeah. No doubt that'll come back to bite me on the bot. But in Russia next summer, I mean, we remember what happened last time, which is why I'm being quite coy. But you look at the side. I mean, look at the front three that they could have. I'm not quite sure how they'll sort of set up and so on. But Neymar, for crying out loud, Firmino. Jesus.
Sessions.
Yeah. It's so dynamic, Jim. Mm. And then behind them, the likes of Willian, Casemiro as well. Even Coutinho. I mean, it's delish.
Paulinho's in there as well.
On merit.
He's been really important for them. Mm. You mentioned Tim Vickery earlier. I was speaking to Tim a few weeks ago, talking about Brazil and this crop of players they've got, and Paulinho has been really important for them, despite all the chat about it being, you know, in quotes, laughable, how much he's cost to go back to Barcelona. But you've got to understand, Brazil are on a real journey. I mean, since this humiliation, in their own words, in the World Cup last time round, on their own patch, they do look very, very determined to do something in Russia next summer, and rightly so, because they're Brazil. But in light of what went on, I think it's got added significance for them. And they're 7-1 third favourites for next year's World Cup with Bet365. So £10 will return £80, including stake. They're third favourites behind Germany. And interestingly enough, France.
Fitting that they're 7-1.
Yeah, it is. Very good.
But I think them winning the Olympic gold medal in Brazil, are beating Germany in the final. People think, oh, we don't care about that.
They
did.
Yeah, they
never won
that
tournament.
On that 7-1 thing, Mark Chapman on the Ramble Meets I did with him a few months ago told a funny story. He was actually there, obviously, with the BBC for that. And after the game, it was an absolute ghost town. They'd just been beaten 7-1, their own patch. Mm. And he said he walked into a restaurant. It's hammering it down with rain. He walked into a restaurant to try and get some food after the game with his team. Mm. It was him, and there were seven of them. And he was walking into there, because he doesn't speak any Portuguese, just holding up seven fingers. And they were giving him like a barrel load of abuse. And he was like, what? And he realised, oh, I shouldn't really be doing that.
The 6+1.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. But it's going to be the South American qualifiers, because Brazil, I think... are they already there, maybe, I think, in Russia? So they can take it easy.
Yeah, I believe they're qualified already.
So, again, some of the Brazilian players, they don't need to go back down there, but it could be a little excuse for a bit of party time.
Yep. And why not, eh?
Why the bloody
hell? Diego Costa's made the effort, hasn't he?
Indeed he has.
He's can't play for them.
He's already there. Spanish international, of course, though. Yeah. It's worth remembering. Luke, what is our best bet with Bet365?
Our best bet with Bet365. It's big news here, chaps.
Right.
I'm taking matters into my own hands
this
week. Yeah, well, no one's occupied the hot seat for very long so far this season. I thought it's an international break. I'll give the listeners a bit of time off.
This is what the international break is all about. Like, you know, bigger players setting an example to the younger lot.
Well, I see what you're saying. Not quite my motivation behind it. But I thought I'd give it a go myself. So I'm going for over 3.5 goals, so 4 goals or more in the Malta v England game on Friday night at 5-6. It's going to be a Friday night party. I'm thinking the 2-all.
I was going to say, you didn't specify who
the
goals are going to.
No, it just has to be 4 goals or more.
And that's very wise.
Our £50 will return £91.67, including stake, with all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. And for more information on that, go to gamblerware.co.uk. That's 4 goals or more in Malta versus England is our best bet with Bet365.
Wonderful.
Smashing.
Any more international chat? Do we have time? San Marino versus Northern Ireland? No?
No. Look, okay. The original whipping boys. San Marino. The original one.
Classic.
Yeah. Quick shout for Alexis Sanchez. He's off to Chile, isn't he? He's gone.
I'd imagine so.
When he comes back, will he be playing for a different club, Jim?
Who knows?
I mean, presumably, how are they going to do medicals and stuff like that? Wherever these players have got to go.
If he's playing,
he'd be all right.
Yeah,
but you still want, you can't...
That South American air, instantly it hits you. You are fit.
Who knows? Man City may well be from the Harry Redknapp school of thought when it comes to medicals. It's deadline day. Let's just worry about that later. Get it through the door.
As soon as you're off the plane, you're dancing.
Yeah.
By the way, actually, genuinely, if he stayed at Arsenal because he failed a medical at City, it would be so funny. It would be worth all the drama.
But then still refuse to play. Well, I failed a medical. I'm obviously injured.
Yeah. To be fair, Alexis Sanchez is so angry, his muscles probably must be so taut and tight at the moment. He's just furious all the time at everyone.
There was a Arsenal fan did an emotional, heartfelt plea online, didn't he? A song.
I haven't seen it.
He's done a few, though, hasn't he, that young lad?
To the theme tune of...
yeah, it's not his first one,
Stay by E17. We'll check out. Alexis may well be a player for a different club all the time.
Well, I don't know. Maybe that will swing it.
Yeah, what? Yeah, okay, maybe it will. Yeah, maybe it'll happen. Just scrolling through YouTube on his way to the meeting to sign. Do you know what? I'm sticking around.
Yeah. Well, by the time people hear this, they'll know, won't they?
They will.
They will be very much looking forward to the international fixtures on the weekend. Little tip for you: Croatia at home to Kosovo could be tasty.
Definitely. And also, in the words of Graham Taylor, you know, England v Malta, England v Slovakia. Put your feet in front. Put your feet up in front of the telly and have a good time. That's Graham Taylor, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah.
I expect England to win.
Yeah.
Put your feet up in front of the telly and have a good time.
Oh, that's
great. Greatest ever England manager quote.
And we will end on that. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. It's been a pleasure. We'll be back next week with more international football. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Petey.
Stay now.
It's goodbye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.